in Yane more in Yane Drush, just a few short things, not to keep you too long, Yane Drush of this topic. First, I want to discuss one in Halacha, a very important in Halacha, which everyone goes to town on this stuff. The Gemara talks about Bilam. Bilam was Yodea discussing Daf Zayin. Yesterday's Daf. Yesterday's Daf was Daf. No, that was Daf Vav, right?
Well, no, yesterday was Zayin.
Yesterday was Zayin. So Daf Zayin, the Gemara talks about Bilam. Bilam knew how to mechave in the Shah. He knew exactly when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets angry. Mm-hmm. And at that moment in time, what would he do? He would curse Klal Yisrael with the word Kalem. Destroy them. Toisves Esakasha. How much already could you accomplish in one single moment? What are you already going to accomplish in a single moment? Kalem. That's enough to, in order to bring harm on Klal Yisrael, just because Bilam was so smart. He was Yodea Lechavin Hashah. When Hashem gets angry, so in one single little moment, he can say one word, that's going to accomplish Chum B'Klal Yisrael. So Toisves says it's something very important, which is discussed at great length by the Paiskim. Taisus says that he would start the klala of kalem at that moment in time and be mamshech. Once you find for yourself a pesach, an opening to do something, even though the window closes, because the moment when Hashem gets angry, it's only a split second. The Gemara says 151 out of 58,880. It's a very small. But once you start at that moment, you have an ability to expand, to be mamshech, and to continue and to draw out that moment. If you start too early, you start too late, it's not going to work. But if you start during a window of opportunity, then you can be mamshech. So here comes the question: what happens if a person? It's at the person. The Soiv Sman Kriya Shema is about to end. Soiv Sman Kriya Shema is, let's say, make believe at 9:31 and 22 seconds and a half. Right? Today they have all these new modern gadgets, and they tell you based on your coordinates where you are exactly Soiv Sman Kriya Shema, and it's exactly 9:31 and 22 seconds, and you only have a half a second left to say Kriya Shema. All you can say in that Kriya Shema is the word Shema. Are you able to be mekayim the mitzvah derais of Kriya Shema by starting the first word of Kriya Shema in that last second, and you'll be mamshech the remainder of Kriya Shema into past the zman? Or when dealing with in your name Myrif, Shachris, the zmanim of Shachris, even go further. Let's talk about a bris mila. Talk about when a child is born. You get into other yanim of the dinim deraisa of a. Mila b'zman, mila benching zman and benching shulis. What about zman? Let's say it's 72 minutes. You're not allowed to bench. You have to bench within 72 minutes of when you've eaten. And let's say now your time is running out. You only can chop around the one or two words. Is there such a halachic concept that if you start during a period of time when you're allowed, even though it's impossible for you to conclude, that is a full fulfillment of the mitzvah? So many poskim want to say that yes, at least b'diavad, it's okay. And the only proof they have is from this Gemara Brachos Daf Zayin Amud Aleph Tosfos Kalem, that Tosfos is the kasha, what already could Bilam accomplish in one split second, and then 1/58,000th of a second, he could start. And once you start, you can go. If that's true for Midas Poronos, Mida Toiva Al Achas Kama V'Kama, when it comes to the Kaima Mitzvah Bracha, you can be mashed them into a later point in Zman. It's a very, very big discussion. Every Sefer I looked at for Daf Yomi goes to town on this Inyan. There are pages and pages of yes, no, but it appears the bottom line is that B'diavad it does work. You can do something like this, at least B'diavad. But let's go to another Inyan. What?
Your shoes sick in our aim.
Yes.
So Yeshua Mosh Mosh Kilo Aim.
Yeah.
So was that just
the one word, Kilo Aim? I don't know. Was that during a moment of time when Hashem was angry? I don't know. It could be that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was such a holy person, his klala would work even any time during the day. Bilam was a nobody, so he needed to find a window when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry, but a tzaddik can do things at any moment in time. That's an interesting point. Okay, another idea. What was the word that Bilam said during that one moment? It was Kalem, Chof Lamed Mem. So the Gemara tells us that we have read the pasuk in the Haftarah that Hashem does not want to curse us, and Hashem had rachm upon us, and Hashem was Mahapech Klala Lebracha. So what's the hepech of the word kalem when you take those same three letters chof, lamed, mem and you read it backwards, mem, lamed, chof, melech. What's the idea of melech? Vayahapich Hashem Elokecha saklalo levrach ki ahevich Hashem Elokecha. Who, what did the Chazal tell us about Bilam? Bilam was the ancestor of who? Of Rus. So in Peldeg Medrash, the Gemara says that in the merit of Bilam offering 42 Kurbanos in this whole process of Balak told Bilam, Balak said to Bilam, prepare for, Balak said to him, what should we do in preparation? So Bilam says, we should prepare Kurbanos. They offered together, I don't remember the exact measure, maybe it was Balak or Bilam, I don't remember exactly.
Balak was Mayav.
Balak, but Bilam was also Mayav. Bilam was also, it was Midyan, okay, both is a combination of both. I don't know exactly, I have to look it up. But what happened in this process of Balak and Bilam, they offered together 42 Kurbanos. And Chazal tell us, in the merit of these 42 Kurbanos, what came from this, and the Shmuel does not deny reward to a tzaddik, what came from this was Rus HaMoaviyah, and that's why the Gemara then continues with discussion of Rus, and from Rus came David, David came the Malchus of Klal Yisrael. So being that in the process of trying to curse Klal Yisrael, they offered sacrifices to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to some degree those sacrifices contributed in Balak and Bilam having a descendant, a great descendant of Rus, which gave brought forth David, which gave forth beautiful Shira to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But go a step further, what exactly did David accomplish to Klal Yisrael? The Malchus. Malchus in Klal Yisrael. David was Melech Yisrael. Malchus based David, Mashiach. So Bilam, he tried to say Kaleim. What's the hepuch? The hepuch is not from Kaleim, Melech. And what's the Melech? Take this in combination with the 42 Kurbanos that they offered, which was instrumental in bringing forth David. What about David? What's the godliness of David? It's not just that he sang Shiras Vishbachas. David brought for Klal Yisrael Malchus. It's essential that Klal Yisrael should have Malchus, Malchusa, the Adagay, Malchus the Rikia, Malchus based David. Okay, another idea. The Gemara says her name was Rus. The Gemara asks, why was she called Rus? Sherivohu HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vesiros Vishbachas. Now there's a why is the Gemara telling us this? So I saw two very interesting things. Number one, there is a Marsha. The Marsha says that the Sefer Rus should really be called Sefer Naomi. It's all about Naomi. Naomi was married to Elimelech, and she had two sons, Kilion and Machlon, and she had two daughters-in-law, and she left, and she came back. The whole story of Megillas Rus is really all about Naomi. So we should call this Megillah Megillas Naomi, not Megillas Rus. Rus was a byproduct of what happened. That's exactly what the Gemara means. The Gemara means that since from Rus came David, and David was Rivohu HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'Sirosh V'Sishbachos, singing Shirat HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so powerful, it's so essential, so important, it overtook the chashivas of Naomi. Even though really the Megillah should be called Megillas Naomi, but this feature was so great, it took the spotlight, and that's why the Sefer is called Megillas Rus and not Megillas Naomi. There's another very beautiful idea. There's a halacha, there's not a halacha, but there's a minog, that when a goy converts, he changes his name. And that's what the Gemara says. This stuff also about Shamos Ba'aretz Altik Shamos L'Shemos. A ger becomes a new creature by joining Klal Yisrael, is supposed to change his name. So the question then is, Rus, why did she not change her name? The L'Chayra, she's called Rus in the beginning of the Megillah before she converted to Yadus, and she's called Rus after she converted. In the story of the Megillah, what happened to the halacha that a geyres is supposed to change her name? So that's what the Gemara is telling us. The Gemara is telling us that's why she kept her name Rus. Rus. The Gemara focuses Navzain on Rus. Melamed shahashem goyrein. Rus shirivohu akadosh baruch hu v'shiros v'sishbachos. That in the name that she had when she was even a Goya, a birth name, that also was a cause for her descendant David to come and to sing Shira LaKadosh Baruch Hu v'Shiros v'Shpachos. So she was an exception. She was able to keep her name because in her original name that also was a cause for what would come later on. It's difficult, especially according to this. What?
I don't know about cause, but a description of character.
Correct. A description of character which came out later on. Now this, you should know, is not in agreement with the Zohar, because the Zohar says that she indeed did have a different name before she converted, even though it's not mentioned in the Megillah. Her name was Goliath. Goliath is a male name. That was the arch enemy of David.
Who is descended from?
Who is Orpah. Orpah. Okay, I don't know the answer, but that's what the Zohar Chodosh. It's written in the Zohar Chodosh that her name was Goliath, and she changed it, and she did change it. So this is not beginning with everyone. Okay, well, another short var. We have the Gemara Shimusha Shel Torah Gadol Shimusha Shel Torah Yosem Milimu. This is a very powerful vart. Greater is a person that serves the Talmud Chacham Yoyser Milimuda. So the problem is there's an extra word in this Maamar Chazal. It says G'doyla Shimusha Shel Torah Yoyser. There's no need to say Yoyser. Once it says G'dola, it automatically includes the word Yoyser. G'doyla Shimusha Shel Torah Milimuda. Why do you need the word Yoyser? So there's an unbelievable answer, and it's so true. Unfortunately, we find today, many times you find that the Shamoshim, the Gaboyim of the Rebbe, or the Gaboyim of different Rashivas, all of a sudden they take over. after the Rebbe passes, after the Rashiva go, all of a sudden the Shamas now the Gadol Hadar. He became the Gadol Hadar. Where did he become the Gadol Hadar? He never sat alone his whole life. Just because he's a Shamas, he served, he was a Shamas, he knows everything. What's going on? That's exactly what this Maamar Chazal is telling us, that's wrong. If you have both, if you have Limud, you learn Torah, and you have Shimush, you have both, but there's Limut. Then the Shimush you get from a Talmud Chacham is more than what you'll get from learning his Torah. But if you only have Shimush and you don't have Torah, you have nothing. That's what it means. If it would say G'doyla Shimusha Milimuda, that would be interpreted to mean all you have is Shimush. Never opened the Daf Gemara. I never looked at a Shulchan Aruch. What do I have? Shimush. I sat by the Rosh Shiva my whole life. Experience. All I have is experience. All I have. I have experience. Shimush with my Rebbe. Gidoyla Shimusha Milimuda. It's greater to have experience than to have a degree, than to go to school and learn the thing inside. But it doesn't say that. Chazal added an extra word. Yoyser. The word Yoyser tells us you have both. Number one, you have Limuda. You sat in school. You have your degrees. You have all of your credentials. And you also have experience. Oh, you have experience also. The experience will have a greater impact more than what you learned in Yeshiva. But you learned in Yeshiva. You do have the Limuda. If you didn't go, if you don't have the word Yoyser in the Gemara, it would just mean G'dol Shimusha Milimuda. Oh, it's better to get experience and don't go to college, don't have any degrees, or have nothing. No, that it doesn't say. Because that's not G'dol. That's corruption. That is wrong. That you'll have nothing. You have both, then you'll have the Shimusha more than the Limuda. It's a very powerful thought. It's very, very true, not just for Torah, it's true for all other matters of secular world as well. Okay, one other vart is the name. This is a gvald. We have a gemara. This is a beautiful thing with Avraham Avinu. We have this gemara that Avraham Avinu was the first one to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu the Odoin, the Master. Hashem Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. Hashem Elokim Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. He was the first one to call HaKadosh Baruch Hu Odoin. So there's a famous story with the Gra. A person came to the Gra. He published a siddur. I think it was a siddur called the Shari Rachamim. And the Gra, the first part of the Gra, he said, why does it say why do we start davening with Adon Olam? Adon Olam Hashem Malach. Why is that the first part of davening? Because Shachris, who established Tila Shachris? Avraham Avinu. And who was the first one that called Hashem Adon? Avraham Avinu. So the first thing that we say in davening is Adon Olam, to give credit to Avraham Avinu. It's a veiled reference of honor to Avraham Avinu, who established Shachris and was the first one to call the Kodesh Baruch Hu Adon. So the Gros saw this part. This is the first part in a big Siddur that was about to be published. He came for Haskama, and the Gros said, if just for this alone, it's kedai to publish the Siddur. Such a beautiful var to explain what it means, Adon. We have the idea in this daf of the shemos, of the name of a person. The name is Goyrim. So there are many in the halacha lemaisa, are you supposed to name a person? This is more of a halacha gain. Is it a good thing to name a person after two people? You have two names, two grandfathers. You have Baruch and you have David. So she named a person Baruch David. So a lot of today everyone does this, but a lot of the Mekubal, a lot of the old timers are not in favor of this, because where you don't have to name a person after more than one person, it's not a great idea, because not everyone gets along. It's not a good shidduch, and the name who you've named after has a roshim on the person. You name a child after so and so. That neshama has an effect on this child. If you're going to name a child after two or three people, how do you know those two or three people, they get along? Not everyone gets along. Everyone is different.
Hopefully the best aspects of...
Hopefully. They can cause... So not everyone is so crazy about giving a child more than one name when it's coming from different people. Okay, different minhagim, people not machmir on this. What about a person, rachman l'tzlan, is sick, they want to change a name? So we all hear this, some do, some don't, some hold, don't hold this all together. But interesting, Shaila, someone wanted to remove a name. Very interesting. Let's say his name was Chaim Beryl. So normally the first, they'll name Chaim Beryl Yosef. They'll add another name, right? Normally you hear about Shinu Shem. People are not well. Not everyone is into these type of things, but those that are into it, they want. You'll always say with the Moisef name instead of being called David. I'll be called David Chaim, Chaim David. The greater name Chaim Shalev. So I once saw a real shaila. Someone sent an email to all these different rabbanim on this mailing list, and they wanted to remove a name. They felt that this person was named, had a name, and the reason why he was so sick was because he was named after a person that was Taka, had a lot of Yisurim. So they felt, Api Kabbalah, that the reason why this person is going through such a hard time now was because the name that he has, it comes from a person that suffered very, very much. Okay, we don't know what these things are. So they wanted to remove a name. Instead of add a name, Shinu Shem, have a Shinu Shem ceremony, and the Shinu Shem would not be to be Moisef a name, but to remove a name. So the Pesukim can talk about this, and they say, now I'll do it. Now I'll take away a name, because the name is your life. It is your chiyus. When you do a Shinu Shem, you add. You don't take away. It's very interesting. I found that to be very interesting. One of my favorite verloch is that Hashem, this is today's daf, Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu the Dalid Shel Tefillin. Moshe said, I want to see you, Hashem. Hashem said, no, I will go behind the rock, you'll see us. Achorai Yerohu Ponai Lo, you'll see my back. I think we discussed, we spoke about the kinnis, we mentioned this before. Hashem, you can see my back, you can't see my front. Mm-hmm. And the Mefarshim explained, what is in the back? Okay, Hashem shall the kesher, shall the dal, the kesher, shall tefillin. And that means symbolically that when a person cannot understand things as they happen, why things happen, we do not understand. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told Moshe Rabbeinu that after a number of years, in retrospect, you will be able to understand the Hanhaga of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You look back later in life, you can look back, you'll be able, if you really think into it, to understand Achorai, in retrospect, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done things which at the time did not make sense. And wanted to extend that to understand why is it that the Shekhinah did not depart from the Kosel HaMa'aravi. There were four walls to the Har HaBayis, and when Titos destroyed the Beis Hamikdash, he wanted to destroy all four walls. He appointed four different generals, and the Hashgacha Pratis had it that the Kaisel Maravi was not willing to collapse. And we have the whole story there, the Gemara in Gittin, what happened with that officer who was not unable to succeed in taking down the Kaisel Maravi, and all comes from the fact that Hashem said, even though I'm going to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, and the Shechinah is going to depart, but the Shechinah will not depart from the Kaisel Maravi. The Shechinah never left. It's sacred. Why? Why the Kaisel Hamaravi more than the Kaisel Mizrach or the Kaisel Darim and Safan? Taris is because the Kaisel Hamaravi is the back of the Beis Hamikdash. The Panim of the Beis Hamikdash is the east. When you come into the Beis Hamikdash, Shanikinar, you come into Ez Nashim coming from the east. Where we go to the Kaisel Maravi, that's the back. That's the back of the Beis Hamikdash. You're facing the back. Because it's a Gede Avir E.C.S. Achoyrai, the Kesher Shel Tzvot. The Shechinah did not leave from the Kosel HaMaravi Davka because Hashem said, that I'll always give you. Ponai Lo Yeiro, there's no Shechinah on the east, but the back there's Shechinah. And the Mikdash is the Shechinah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the back, that's why Maravi, not east. Okay, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful